Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Brother Danny, don't forget to hit record. John chapter 1. Y'all would not believe. I look at the website sometime, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people from all, everywhere listening. And some of them keep coming back and listening. And I looked on Facebook, the church website, the church Facebook, the other day, there was 1,500 visitors on there. And people are, they're hungry. They're tired of being entertained. They want to learn something. And so get your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 36. John chapter 1, verse 36. I'm going to try not to clear my throat and cough too much, but I still got a little bit of that. John chapter 1, if you will, and we'll start with verse 36. And, of course, most of you know the story. John the Baptist here, and he's preaching. And in verse 36, he's, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remind me of that little song, and I didn't know it growing up, but the little song means that. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It was talking about Jesus. I didn't know that growing up. Did you know that growing up? But it didn't make sense no other way. Now that you know it, you look at it and you say, well, it doesn't make sense any other way. Mary, his mother, she birthed a little lamb. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. She gave birth to a little lamb. So John, as he sees Jesus coming up, he says, "Behold, look at, there he is, the Lamb of God. There he is." Now, you may not know the significance of that. In the Bible, the lamb is very precious and it's very significant to the story of Christ. All the way from the Old Testament to the book of Revelation, the Lamb is mentioned all the way through the Bible, from beginning to end. And so tonight, I thought I'd just show you three things about this Lamb. Now, if you'll understand that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, they took a little lamb once a year, and they would offer it up as a sacrifice. They shed its blood. That blood would be sprinkled on the altar. It'd be sprinkled there in the holy place. And then that lamb would be roasted. And then actually in the end, the Levite priest actually got to eat it. But it was offered to God. And so they didn't know what they were doing. They thought they were just making a blood sacrifice because God requires blood. Without shedding blood, there's no remission, he said. And so they sacrificed lambs, and they sacrificed goats and bulls and turtle doves. And when somebody didn't have enough money to own an animal, God had a way that he would allow them to make a meal offering. They could make just cornmeal or something, you know, flour. They could make a meal offering there at the temple. So all through the Scripture, the lamb is very important. Now, we don't think much about that the day we live in because our society, you don't see many lambs. People don't hardly eat lamb. We don't wear lamb skin things, you know, and all that. But in their day, and in John the Baptist's day, they knew exactly what he was talking about when he said, "Look yonder, behold, the Lamb of God." And so they knew he was telling them, this is the one that's going to shed his blood for the remission of your sins, see. And so that's what Jesus did there on Calvary's cross. He laid down his life. They didn't take it. The Bible says, as a lamb, he opened not his mouth. He didn't argue with them. He walked straight to the sacrifice, and he became the sacrifice. He never argued about it. And he became the Lamb of God to pay for our sins. And so all through the Scripture, that's what it was leading up to. And so when you look at the Old Testament, and I've said this many, many times, everything in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, the holy days, the high days, every bit of that, but especially the Lamb of God, the Lamb, pointed to a coming Savior that was going to die on a cross. And those people, by faith, went through those ceremonies, sacrifices, and all those things, looking, knowing that this represented something that was going to happen in the future. And now we're on the other side of that, and now the sacrifice has been completed. And we look back at the cross where that sacrifice was done, just like they look forward to the cross where the sacrifice would be done. We look back at it now. So we don't need a lamb to sacrifice. We don't need a bull. We don't need a goat. We don't need a turtle dove. We don't need a meal offering. We don't need ceremonies. We don't need sacrifices and traditions. All of that is wrapped up in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of every bit of that. That's why I don't get excited when people say, well, I don't eat shrimp, because in the Old Testament it tells you not to eat shrimp. Well, that was for a purpose, and that purpose is past. It was pointing to something that was going to happen. Something that's going to happen. Now, what they need to do is recognize that there's nothing you can do, no ceremony, no dietary law, nothing that you can do that will merit you eternal life, because it was already paid for by the Lamb on the cross. See, it's all been paid for. Now, the Apostle Paul said, now we live by faith. Now we walk by faith in the finished work of the Lamb of God. The Apostle Paul, he said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 3, he said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's the gospel. That's the whole gospel. That's the gospel of the Lamb of God. And so when John pointed at him, they knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew he was going to become their sin offering. And they had to make a decision, just like you and I had to make a decision. And am I going to trust that, or am I going to trust me? And a lot of them were saved in the Old Testament, just like we are. Now, they couldn't go to heaven in the Old Testament because the sacrifice had not been made, the payment has not been paid. And that's why in Luke 16, you'll read where Jesus went down. He talks about paradise, Abraham's bosom. That's where they all went. It was in the heart of the earth. They died, they'd wake up in paradise. And then after Jesus rose from the dead, it says he set captivity free. He took them up to heaven. He went down there and he preached to them. Now, he didn't go to hell. Some of these preachers on TV will tell you he went to hell. No, he didn't. He went to the heart of earth, to paradise, and he preached to those people, and he told them, I'm the one you've been counting on. I'm the one you've been looking for. Here I am. I've paid the debt. You can go home now. And he took them out. And that's why you'll read in one of the Gospels when he resurrected, during the crucifixion and during the resurrection, they saw Old Testament saints walking around. Now, we don't have to worry about the sin debt. We accept the Lamb's payment. Do you understand that? So we can sing, Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was white as snow, perfect, pure, sinless. You see what he's talking about? Mary birthed the Lamb of God, his fleece, he was white as snow, he was pure, and he was perfect. See that? All right, now, I want to show you a couple of things about that lamb. Look at Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8. Now, there's a promise in Genesis 22 of a Lamb of God. This is the first time it was promised. Now, as I told you in the Old Testament, the ceremonies, the sacrifices pointed toward Jesus Christ and his coming. Look at Genesis 22, look at verse 7 and 8. In verse 7 it says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide, I want you to underline that word, himself. God will provide himself. Most people never even see that. They read right across that. God will provide himself a lamb. God's going to become that lamb. in Jesus Christ. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, so they went both of them together. Now you know the story, Abraham and Isaac. God told him, said, take your son up on that mountain and I want you to offer him for a sacrifice. And he was just proving his faith. That's all he was doing. God knew what Abraham was going to do, and God knew what God was going to do. His son was not going to die. He was going to be a type of the Lamb of God. He was going to be Isaac was going to be a type of Jesus Christ. So they and their servant headed toward the mountain. And when they got up there to the mountain, he told his servant, wait here. Me and my son's going to worship God. And go back and read it. He said this, and we'll come back to you. He knew God wasn't going to take that boy. And so they went up that mountain, and as they was going up, the boy looked at his daddy. He said, Daddy, here's the wood, and here's the fire. They carried hot coals around in a little metal pot. They didn't have matches. And he said, here's the wood, and here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? He knew there was supposed to be a lamb. And I showed you what he said. He said, son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. God can provide himself a lamb. And he was saying this, God's going to become that lamb. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And God in the flesh became the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist knew it. John the Baptist, listen, as he was preaching this, he was already full of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was born full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit had already filled him in the womb. And when Mary and Martha taught, Mary and I can't never remember her name, Elizabeth, whenever they taught, the Holy Spirit cut a flip. That's why I tell y'all, you can cut a flip in here as long as you don't hurt nobody. But here it is. Jesus Christ, John the Baptist is talking, preaching about Jesus Christ, and he points him out and he says, there's, and they knew what he was saying. He said, there's that lamb that Abraham was talking about. There's that lamb that later on Isaac was talking about. There's that lamb that the prophets talked about. There is the Lamb of God right there. See that? Mary had a little lamb. Amen? And so it was promised all through the Old Testament. It was promised that there would be a Lamb of God to come to shed his blood to pay for our sins, the sins of the whole world. That was a promise. Now, in two places, the Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Now, God never changed his mind on that. Now, some theologians have changed their mind. They said, well, Jesus was just another man. He wasn't anything special. He was a good man. He was a good preacher and all this stuff. And some preachers have changed their mind. And before they went to the seminary, they thought he was the Lamb of God until somebody taught it out of them. But God has not changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that told Abraham that in Genesis is the same God that told John the Baptist that when Jesus walked up. Amen? And he's the same God now on this side of the cross that tells us that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now that don't excite a lot of people, but I remember when I first read that and learned that, I was maybe 24 by then. I got so excited, I started crying. I was sitting down in the mill on my job. The machine was running. I could do anything I wanted to as long as the machine was running. And I was sitting there reading my Bible, and I got to reading this passage right here, and I started crying. And old Tommy Owens came up. He said, Ron, what are you crying about? I said, have you ever read this? He said, what is it? He took it and looked at it. He said, yeah, I've been though, Dad. I said, why hadn't you told me? I never knew this. How many people don't know this? He said, everybody knows that. I said, no, everybody doesn't know that. I didn't know that. The Lamb of God was promised before Jesus was ever born. And then turn to Isaiah 53. Not only was he promised, but in Isaiah 53 it tells the purpose of that Lamb. In Isaiah 53, and most of you are familiar with it, but it doesn't hurt you to look at it. Isaiah 53. This is the purpose of the Lamb of God. Look at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Most people don't realize what that means either. If he doesn't show it to you by his Holy Spirit, you won't even recognize it. Amen. A lot of them didn't recognize it that day. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. That tells me he don't look like those blonde-headed, blue-eyed pictures everybody's got hanging at their house. Amen? He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I don't know how many of y'all ever seen an actual lamb in the stall, but they really ain't pretty. They're not pretty like those pictures you got. They're dirty. That old white wool gets all matted up and filthy and dirty. It really ain't pretty, amen? And he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Boy, that describes cross right there. Surely he had borne. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They said, when he was on the cross, they said, if you be the Son of God, bring yourself down off that cross. Prove it. Well, that's what he's talking about here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Now, when those Roman soldiers and later on the Jewish soldiers were beating him and making fun of him and mocking him, that was for me and you. They didn't know what they were doing. But now we look back on it and we see he took our beating. He took our mocking. He took our shame on him. And then all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now think about that. There's over 7 billion, I saw it yesterday, there's over 7.5 billion people on planet Earth right now, and it's multiplying every minute. 7 billion people. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? $6 billion in Atlanta. Yeah. Well, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All the people that have ever lived, think about that. Not just the 7 billion right now, but probably the 7 billion that have already gone too. God laid on him the iniquity of every one of those people. And there's never been one, not one, that did not sin. Not one. There's never been one person outside of Jesus Christ born to woman that did not sin. Every one of those people have sinned. And I wouldn't be afraid to say 14 billion since the beginning of time till now. We've probably doubled. But I'll say this. He took on the sin of 14 billion people that day. No wonder God turned his back on him. No wonder it got dark in the middle of the day with the sun shining. No wonder there was an earthquake and the ground shook. No wonder. God laid on him the iniquity of everybody that's ever been born or ever will be born. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb, there it is, to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, that means he didn't talk. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Was he stricken? And he made his grave with the wicked. He hung between two thieves. Made his grave with the wicked. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. In other words, it's coming. And he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I like that right there. That lamb died for my sin. And there's nothing else I have to do. God's satisfied. It's done. It's finished. He said it on the cross when he took that last breath. He said, Father, forgive them. It is finished. And look, God laid our... And look, it was forever. God's now satisfied. Do you get that? He's satisfied. I cannot do anything to add to that. And I can't do anything to take away from that. God is satisfied with what Jesus did. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. They took his garments and parted them, the soldiers did. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. That's lawbreakers. And he bare the sins of many, and look here, and made intercession for the transgressors. And now you get to the New Testament, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, see. Now that's the Lamb of God. Say it again, Mary had a little lamb. Amen? Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Amen? I like that. I like that. Now, that was the promise in the Old Testament, and then that was the purpose. That's what he came for. He came to die. He didn't come set up his kingdom. I was reading a theologian one day, and you have to watch out for those people. And he said that Jesus failed because he didn't set up the Jewish kingdom, and God sent him to reestablish the Jewish kingdom. And I thought to myself, this man needs to read the Bible. He came to die for our sins. The kingdom's coming later. The first time he came to die for our sins. Reverend Young Sung Moon, he's in hell burning right now. He died a couple of years ago. He's in hell, no doubt about it. And here's why. Young Sung Moon, and by the way, Mooney Church, the Unification Church it's called, they own a whole city block in New York City. They own several skyscrapers. They used to be more prevalent than they are now. Y'all might remember them selling flowers and stuff around. Moonies, they call them. Y'all remember Moonies? It's a cult. It's a cult. Reverend Young Sung Moon, a Korean, he came up one day as a preacher, and he said Jesus had many messiahs. He had many saviors. He said Adam was one, but he failed. So then God sent another one. And he sent Abraham, and Abraham failed. And God sent Noah, and he failed. And God sent Isaac, but he failed. And then God sent John the Baptist, but he failed. And then God sent Jesus, and Jesus didn't get a chance to complete the work before they killed him. So now he sent Young Sung Moon. Yeah, he said Young Sung Moon was the Savior. And do you know the difference between Young Sung Moon and Jesus? Jesus was the Lamb of God. He's alive and well. Young Sung Moon was a goat. He's dead and in hell right now. That's the difference right there. He wasn't the Lamb of God. Jim Jones thought he was the Lamb of God. Old Koresh thought he was the Lamb of God. There's been many of them come and go, and none of them meet the qualifications. Now, so the promise and the purpose. Now, go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm just about through. Can y'all believe that? John chapter 1. Don't say amen, Danny. John chapter 1. Now, look at verse 29 this time. Now, John, he's preaching. And verse 25, they ask him, saying unto him, why baptize thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there's one standing among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. In other words, he was alive before John. Whose shoes latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. Now the next day, verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come to baptize with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit, capital S, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Now you had the promise in the Old Testament. You had his purpose in Isaiah. And then this is like a presenting. God is presenting the Lamb of God to the world. Now, so far he's been doing little things, you know. People hadn't noticed him much. But this is where he really begins his ministry. And God, through John the Baptist, by the way, John the Baptist was the greatest preacher ever lived. The Bible says that. And through the greatest preacher ever lived, John the Baptist is preaching about the Lamb of God. And he said, look here, he was before me. And I didn't even know him. But God told me, the one that you see the Spirit coming down on in the form of a dove and resting on, that's the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. And then John presented him to the people standing there that were there lined up to get baptized. He said, Behold, here he is. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now look, we know about the promise. Most people do in America. We know about the purpose. Most people do in America. We're celebrating his birthday right now. Most people know about his purpose. I don't think there's a problem with the promise in the world. I think everybody knows he was promised. I don't think there's a problem with us people knowing what his purpose was. He's even mentioned in the Quran and some other heathen writings. I think the problem comes with the presenting. I think the church has failed to present Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He ain't nothing like Santa Claus. He ain't nothing like what we celebrate holidays. I mean, what we need to get back to, we assume everybody knows, because most of them know the promise and most of them know its purpose a little bit. And so we just assume that everybody has had him presented to them in a way that they had the opportunity. But I got news to you. They haven't. I grew up in this country. Churches everywhere. I went to school and we had devotions on the intercom. People prayed over the intercom, read the Bible over the intercom. I knew people that went to church. A lot of kids I hung around with at school went to church. But no, and I knew about the promise. I knew a little bit about it. You can't live in America and not know a little bit about there was a promise of Savior was coming. His name was Jesus. I knew a little bit about the purpose that he was supposed to come to be the king of the world. That's all I knew. But all those years till I was 21 years old, I had nobody present him to me as the Lamb of God that would take away my sins. Now I had people present him to me as the judge, and he is going to be judge. Boy, you're going to go to hell if you don't quit that. If you don't quit running around that crowd, you're going to hell. If you don't start going to church, you're going to hell. But that's not the presentation we need to make. The presentation we need to make is the same one that John the Baptist did. And we need to point people to Jesus and say, look, he was promised ages ago. And we know his purpose. The Bible says he came to die for our sins. And listen, I want to present him to you. I want to talk to you about the Lord and tell you what he's done for you and for me and what you can do with that. That's why over in John, you go a little bit farther, John 1:12, verse 11, it says, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They knew what he was there for. But verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, we can look at people all we want to and say, oh, drunk will straighten up. He knows about the Lord. There's a church on every corner. Well, he knows about him, but he don't know him. He needs somebody to present him to him in a way that he can know him. You understand what I'm saying? That's where our churches fail. Now, we got churches all over this town. There's 70 Southern Baptist churches now. Of course, 7 of them won't even put Baptist on their sign, but I guess that's all right. There's 7 independent Baptist churches. There's multiple Pentecostal and Lutheran and Episcopalian and all this other stuff and Methodist and all that. You would think that more people would be receiving the Lord. You see, the problem ain't in the receiver of the Lamb. The problem is in the presenting of the Lamb. We've got to get back to presenting Him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So that boy can get saved one day. He won't just be playing on the altar. He'll be praying on the altar. Amen? Amen. He's doing good. But let's practice presenting Jesus as the Lamb of God. When that boy gets out of jail, sis, you look at him, you say, look, jail ain't what you need. You need Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you how he died for our sins and shed his blood for us. You say, people get mad at me. It'll shock you. They really won't get mad at you. They'll get embarrassed, but they won't get mad at you. They may act like they're mad because they're embarrassed. First time I heard it, I got embarrassed. But we need to get back to presenting him. Now listen. I'm glad for the promise. I know the purpose. And this coming year in 2017, I'm going to do some more presenting. The Lamb of God. Where we can take little old children and not just raise them up in here, but tell them about the promise. Tell them about the purpose. And then one day give them the opportunity. Say, wouldn't you like to get saved? Wouldn't you like to receive Jesus? Y'all understand what I'm saying? When that girl gets out of rehab, she don't need more rehab. She needs somebody to present the Savior to her, to save her from rehab. When that guy gets out of jail, he don't need more jail. He needs somebody to present the Savior so he will never have to go back to jail again. He gets set free. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Presenting is what we ought to be doing at Christmas time. There'll be church members all over this town eating a big meal this week, calling it a Christmas meal, and nobody will even say the blessing. Yep, right. Church members. Yep. Supposed to be Christians. Won't even say the blessing. You think they're going to present Christ? No, they're ashamed. They're afraid that they're going to be embarrassed. You know what I used to do at work? They'd say, will you pray over the... We'd have a little Christmas meal or something. Will you pray over... I said, I sure will. And I'd preach the whole story in my prayer. And I'd say, Lord, I pray every one of these people come to know Jesus like I know him as my Savior. And a lot of times I go visit people and I say, would you like to be saved? They say, nah, I really don't want to talk about it. I say, okay, can I pray for you? Oh, yeah, I wish you would pray for me. And I'll pray the gospel. Don't let them eat. Don't let them sleep. You know, just pray the gospel. When your daughter had that baby, I went up there and I prayed the gospel to them. I didn't stay long. They didn't want to see me anyway. They wanted the gospel. And I give it to them in a prayer. And then I said, amen, I'll see y'all. I presented it. And now it's their job to receive him. And you say, well, I did that one time. They didn't receive him. Well, maybe it takes more than once sometimes. You keep presenting. Like they did with me for 3 years, I was under conviction. God was putting people in front of me everywhere I went talking about Christ. And finally, the light came on. And I said, there's the Lamb. And I run down that aisle and I got saved. Amen? Let's stand. Father.